these sanctions, which involve freezing the bank accounts of these generals and preventing them from traveling internationally, are an important first step. They show that the international community is united with the people of South Sudan against those who are fanning the flames of war and committing gross and deadly human rights abuses in the country.
Yes. Do you think these sanctions is going to have any impact, especially when it comes to the pursuit for peace in the country?
We do believe that sanctions like this can help immeasurably with the pursuit of peace because they are an important first step in creating an environment where the people who are negotiating peace begin to feel the impact of their decisions to continue war and pursue a path of fighting instead of a path of compromise and negotiation. By showing that the UN is willing to act together and enact sanctions against specific individuals, we hope that other individuals in South Sudan, even those who are higher up and more influential politically, will feel that they too can be vulnerable to the pressure and threats of the United Nations.
Basing on the fact that some of these generals actually don't have assets outside the country, they don't travel most often, what impact will it have on them particularly?
Well, first and foremost, as a member of the UN Security Council, the government of South Sudan is obliged to freeze any assets of these generals which they could find in the country. And that doesn't just mean bank accounts. It can also mean homes or even cattle. So I find it hard to believe that these six men who lead huge battalions of soldiers don't have anything of value. And anything that they do have of value, the government is obliged on both sides, those who are commanders in the SPLA as well as those in the opposition. The government should act to freeze their assets. So that is one impact that we are hoping to see soon.
Yes, but I mean, just before you continue, the government on many occasions have said actually that these sanctions won't work. I mean, even if being a member of the United Nations, they won't act definitely on their own people that they sent to the army, to the front line.
The government is obliged to do so by international law, and if it does not take action like that, then it is also in violation of international law, putting it in the line to be identified as someone, an entity that is facilitating and fueling the conflict. So that is that's then taking the government from a place of saying, okay, we don't think sanctions are helpful, to saying we are willing to break international law. We have to see if the government of South Sudan is willing to say that and do that. One part is that the government of South Sudan itself must enforce these sanctions, but the neighbors should too, Uganda, Kenya, and Ethiopia. And it is our understanding that some of these men do travel, maybe not to foreign capitals like New York or London, but they do go to Addis or Kampala or to Nairobi or to the border areas. And enforcement also involves those travel bans and also any of the assets or homes that they do have in those countries as well.
Someone will be wondering as to why these sanctions are only imposed on generals, yet the politicians from both sides might be the one giving the orders. Why not sanction the top guns up there instead of coming to these army generals?
That is a important next step, and our work in New York will be to urge the Security Council to consider a second round of sanctions going after exactly who you said, those politicians who are giving the orders and who are continuing the war, despite the fact that now in South Sudan, almost 40% of people are suffering from a lack of food because they've been pushed from their homes, have no chance to plant, and are facing the real impact of the violence.
If peace is achieved, will these sanctions be lifted on these particular individuals, or they will have to face justice?
These sanctions are reversible, and so if the Security Council finds that these individuals are no longer obstructing peace, they can definitely be removed, and any of the assets that were frozen should be given back to these individuals. As for accountability and justice, any kind of durable peace deal, any peace that will last in South Sudan, will need provisions that deal with accountability, whether that is through a hybrid tribunal, which allows international and South Sudanese judges to sit together in judgment of those who have committed crimes, or also through compensation and reparation for all those communities who have lost so much in this.
Sawad, thank you so much for talking to us. But if you have to make your last remarks on these particular sanctions and the situation in South Sudan as Enough Project, what could you like to say?
These sanctions are just the first step in a long process of escalation, but it shows that the UN is standing in solidarity with the people of South Sudan, and that the UN is committed to imposing some consequences on those who continue to obstruct peace and commit human rights abuses.